I'm Peter Block at TCT 2019 in San Francisco for ACC.org, and with me is Tony DiMaria, and it is the end of day three. We're here to wrap up the important clinical trials for today, so we're going to start with the COAPT three-year follow-up. Tony, I had bet on this one with Mike Mack, who presented it, that they would not do so well at 3 years and that we'd start to drop off a little bit, and I'm going to let you tell the folks out there what in fact did happen.
What in fact did happen is that they did very well. Yes. And in fact, if you look at the Kaplan-Meier lines, they actually seem to diverge a little bit, but clearly the CLIP did better than guideline-directed medical therapy. What was interesting, Peter, is that there were a group of patients who were assigned to the medical treatment group who at the end of 2 years were allowed to cross over and get a mitral clip. And in those patients, they actually conformed to the line of the patients who were clipped initially rather than the patients who were treated medically.
Absolutely. Reminds me of the old days, 1,000 years ago, when we were doing aortic valve replacement trials, and patients treated medically with aortic stenosis then got the brand new aortic valves, and they then straightened out their lifelines, and they didn't continue to deteriorate. So this is sort of similar to that. The mitrals that crossed over sort of joined those that already had the mitral clip in their the way they went forward as far as mortality and outcomes are concerned.
Followed for 12 months. Yeah. And of course, we always have to give the proviso that the patients in COAPT were a special group of patients who had relatively less left ventricular volumes and relatively more mitral regurgitation.
Yeah, the better patients, but nonetheless, you know, the mitral clip, I think, has finally proven that it is a good therapy, and people are getting very good at putting them in now.
No question, for the right patient, it is terrific therapy.
Okay, moving on. So we have the PARTNER 2A five-year follow-up. This is Vino Turani's report, an interesting study. Unfortunately, it's a study of the Sapien XT valve, which we don't use any longer, but it's a five-year follow-up.
And again, the five-year results are very good. The thing I took away from that study mostly was the fact that the question about valve deterioration that hangs over us as to whether we're going to do TAVR in the low-risk patients. At 5 years, the valve is performing very well, and that's encouraging.
Absolutely. I remember PARTNER 1B, the very first PARTNER trial that we were in, everyone said, you know, you compress this and push it all together so it can get into a catheter, and it'll deteriorate in a year or two. Answer to that, not exactly.
Not exactly. No, it's doing well so far, and as you point out, this was an early phase valve, and the anticipation is the newer valves may do even better.
I would agree with you on that. We'll see how the new valves do, but I would be surprised if they didn't do just as well or better. So we have two more trials. One is EXCEL. This is an interesting trial. The EXCEL was the left main, sort of the modern left main stenting compared to surgery. And the question is whether or not PCI for left main disease is or is not better. You remember the syntax indicated that, in fact, patients might do better with CABG surgery. They were done with, syntax was done with early stenting. So now we have modern stenting. EXCEL, give us the skivvy.
So bottom line is that using the latest generation stents in patients whose STS score was low, so these
syntax
are not
score.
Syntax score, I'm corrected, was low, so that the complexity of the left main disease was not horrendous. They did very well with stenting, comparable to surgery, although there was a bit of a crossover at about 36 months.
Yeah, that crossover is interesting. It looks like the patients that were stented seemed to have more outcomes sort of at 3 years or 4 years. I've forgotten exactly where the crossover, but late. But the differences in those outcomes seemed to be non-cardiovascular, interestingly. They didn't make significance, and I think what we can say now is we'll have to wait and see for longer follow-up if they do that. But for now, it looks like PCI and CABG surgery are at least equivalent. I asked the principal investigator from the UK for this trial to answer the question, what would you like if he had left main? And he said, well, if I had ostial or mid-left main, I'd go with a stent. But you know, once I get complicated bifurcation disease or distal disease, probably CABG. So I don't think we've changed much in our thinking.
Probably have not changed much, but encouraging in terms of the ostial and mid left mains as being attackable by stenting.
And certainly early on, big difference because nobody likes to have their chest open.
Right.
There you go.
Nobody stands in line to have their chest filleted.
Okay. One more, the COMPLETE trial. This is actually a sub-study of the COMPLETE trial. COMPLETE was presented at ESC. Basically, what Roxanne Moran said was that if you have an acute myocardial infarction, complete revascularization is better than partial revascularization, short version. This is a timing study, and they now are presenting, well, okay, given that information, when do you do the non-culprit lesion? So what's the outcome here, Tony, and what's the trial like?
So the most recent data on whether you do it at the same procedure or later has suggested that the best results are to just do the culprit vessel and get out. So this study looked at whether you should do the complete revascularization, which is clearly preferable, during the same hospitalization or after discharge within 45 days. And the answer is that it doesn't make much difference.
When you do it.
When you do it.
Right.
You should do it, but it doesn't make much difference. And the implications of that, I guess, are a little bit unclear to me. It seems to me if the patient's in the hospital, you may as well do it while they're there, although if there's some compelling reason to discharge the patient, seems like it won't be a problem.
Yeah, I would agree. It looks like you need to, complete revascularization is the bottom line here.
Bottom
and if you
line.
Can pull that off, you're better off as far as the patients are concerned. The one problem that I have with all of this is trying to figure out a little bit about what is a culprit lesion, what is possibly a culprit lesion, when do you leave a lesion behind? That becomes a judgment issue, of course, always. And we'll just have to see a little bit more data before we can finally figure out what the timing is. But there were some implications, as you know, from other trials that doing this at the index hospitalization was probably a good idea. And this study doesn't tell you that it's not a good idea, but it tells you you can have up to 45 days.
Yeah, this study really didn't address that. And they haven't yet, I suspect more publications are coming, but they haven't yet looked at the severity of illness of the patients. And one might anticipate that depending upon the severity of illness of the patient, heart failure, et cetera, you might be better off doing it
later.
Or
possibly earlier.
Yeah.
I guess we just don't know the answer to that one. Okay, a fascinating day 3 here at TCT. Thanks, Tony.